Good afternoon, and a very, very warm welcome indeed to this service of worship here in Inverenit Hall. It's nice to be back. We've been on our travels for the last 3 weeks, and it's good to be back in Inverenit again. It's good to be here this morning to worship our Lord and our Saviour as his gathered church family. So in Jesus' name, it's my privilege to welcome you to this service this morning. We welcome also the Reverend Gordon Martin, who is with us today. Gordon's our interim moderator, and we thank you for coming across, Gordon, and thank you for preaching for us and ministering to us, and we look forward to what the Lord has laid on your heart for us. And this afternoon's service will be followed immediately by a congregational meeting, so please do remain after the service for that meeting, and then there will be a time of refreshments and fellowship to follow that. Just a couple of things before I hand over to Gordon. There is no Glenelg service, evening service in Glenelg this evening. We will be going across to attend the Cool Back to School with God service in Killachan Hall, which starts at 6 p.m. So please do make every effort to come along to that service in Killachan. Timmy Curry will be leading the service. Straight after the congregational meeting, there will be a short vacancy committee meeting. We'll meet in the small room at the back once the Sunday school have vacated. So please do, if you're on the vacancy committee, come along for that meeting. The Wednesday evening Bible studies are both on again this week at 7:30 p.m. The Glenelg study meets in Peter and Moira's Lane's home in Dorney. In Glenelg and in Dorney. At Vivian and Colin McKenzie's home, and all are most warmly welcome to come along to these studies. I will leave you to read through the rest of those intimations yourselves in your time, and without further ado, we'll hand over to Gordon. Thank you, Gordon.
It's great to see you again, and it's great to be in this part of the world again. I don't know if you get so familiar with the scenery and with the beauty of this place. But visitors like myself just really appreciate it. Come across the hills with the purple heather. Just a great time to be in the West. I passed three Volkswagen Beetles, trying to get up the hill from, Ochter Tyre today, going across to Strome. And it reminded me that I used to come on holiday every year to South Strome. I had an auntie that lived there. And one year we were going up the old road, not the new road, but the old road from Ochter Tyre. And it would have been a big estate car that my father had with five kids and lots of luggage in the boot. Two of us used to sit in the boot looking out the back, travelling up from the Central Belt, from Cumbernauld. This particular year didn't make the hill. We all had to get out and push the car up to the top of the hill. And I was reminded that these Beetles were struggling, it appeared to me, to get up that Ochter Tyre Brae. But it brought back lots of great memories of being in this part of the world, and it's great to be with you today. Really, really great. We're going to worship God today. We're going to sing from Psalm 98 on page 129. O sing a new song to the Lord for wonders he has done, his right hand and his holy arm, the victory have won. We'll sing verses 1 to 4 to God's praise.
Thank you.
join together in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord and our God, our Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus, we thank you once again that we're able to gather with your people to worship you, to exalt you, to lift you up, to express our affection, our love, our adoration. We thank you that you accept us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the assurance of that in your word. And we marvel at that because we know the kind of people that we are. We know that you are a holy God. You are a righteous God. But we, by nature, are unholy and unrighteous. We know what your law is. We have a conscience operating within us. And we know that so often we are going astray and we sin. And we confess sin today before you. We confess those occasions where we have failed to bring honour to you, where we have failed to love you, failed to serve you and glorify you. We think of these occasions where we have sinned very blatantly against your law and therefore against our neighbours, against our relatives, against those who are closest to us. We think in our minds of some of these commandments and we think about how we have failed to honour father or mother. We think about how we have failed to respect authority. We think about how we might have stolen, perhaps from people's reputation, perhaps property, or been tempted to steal, to defraud. We think of the moments of unrighteous anger when we have been guilty of slaying our neighbours, killing our neighbours because of the anger in our hearts, and how we have destroyed people's reputation perhaps by gossiping or by speaking against those made in your image. Lord, you know all the many different ways in which we sin in thought, word and deed, and yet we come to you today because you are a covenant-making God, and you have entered into a new covenant with us through Jesus Christ, a covenant of forgiveness, a covenant of salvation. And so we're able to sing a new song today, that new song of grace, that new song of redemption. Lord, give to us to be able to sing that from the bottom of our hearts, that we might really be rejoicing in you, and that when the psalm tells us to sing and to make music and to be jubilant in our hearts, that we are able to do that gladly and genuinely. Lord, we pray that in Jesus Christ you would accept us and that you would forgive our many sins. Lord, we pray that today you would be with us in every aspect of the service. Help us, Lord, to know your blessing. Help us to know your kindness with us. We pray for those who cannot be here, for those who are sick and for those who are laid aside. We ask that you would bless them. We pray for those who have been bereaved, and we think of Craig and of Mary, and we think of the different family connections there. We pray for the family of Ginger Gordon. We pray that you would bless them also today. Father, you know just how much pain and sorrow is part of our lot here in this world. And we thank you that you've promised a new world where there is no sorrow and no crying, where tears are taken away. Father, we ask that you would help us to anticipate these days of glory. And Lord, may we close with the offer of salvation today ourselves. May we secure our place in heaven and glory with you. Lord, grant us faith and grant us your Holy Spirit to lead us today. We pray again in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, boys and girls, it's great to see you. And Sunday school will be starting again. Is it starting today for the first time? My head's only half here when I'm listening to intimations. So it's great that you come back, and great that you'll be coming to Sunday school. Most mornings, I have quite a slow start to the day, and some men will shake their heads at this. But some mornings, at least, I will have a bath. Okay. And in a bath, of course, you take a little bit of time and you're washing yourself and you're sitting in the bath and the water is just there round about you. Today I had a shower. Now you all know about showers, I presume. You got a shower in your house, and maybe you enjoy taking a shower. Well, the thing about a shower is the water falls down from above, and you've got soap and all that on you, and it cleans you, and then the stuff disappears, fade away, doesn't it? The water disappears down the plug hole, or it should do if the shower's working properly. And that reminded me of a verse in the Bible. It said this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, he will clean us. You didn't think God would clean you. But God will clean you. All the wrong things that you've done, okay, if you confess them to God, take them to God, he will forgive you and he will wash you. Okay, so imagine, okay, God just washing you and all your sins going down the plug hole, as it were. Imagine that, disappearing. Now, there was something else about this shower this morning. This is half the reason I took this shower this morning. It was a power shower. Okay, now, I don't know if you know what a power shower is, but a power shower is when the water comes down really powerfully, really fastly, okay? And you can feel it hitting your body. Okay, so this was a power shower. And that reminded me of something. When a person is forgiven their sin, there's a reason that that happens, and that's because the Holy Spirit has come down in power. And the Holy Spirit changes our lives, working powerfully in us. So next time you have a shower, and you're feeling the water falling on you, think about not just dirt, right? But think about the dirt inside. The dirt inside, the sins inside. Take them to Jesus and ask him to wash you. And then maybe you've got a power shower in your house, maybe not. But if you're ever in a power shower, remember that for us to confess our sins takes the work, the powerful work of the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. Okay? So, keep yourselves clean. Maybe that's the way I would summarise that talk. Let's sing again. We're going to sing the hymn, "You're the Word of God the Father." From before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. I don't know if you know this one. I hope you do. I just assumed that you would know these things. Let's stand to God's praise.
You're the Word of God. Creation holds together by the power.
We're going to read, our first reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And then after that, we're going to read a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're reading these passages because today we want to think about eldership, because we're going to be electing an elder, and I just thought it would be good for us to be refreshed about the role of the elder, and hopefully this will help. I hope it won't turn into a lecture later on. Possibly it might feel like that, but we'll see how that goes. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And reading again in 1 Peter chapter 5, page 1220 in the Red Bibles, if you're using them. 1 Peter chapter 5, this is verses 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Amen. May God bless these readings of his word. We will sing again, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. You more than knew the last song, I hasten to add. Very, very impressed. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven, to Earth Come Down, to God's praise.
Love Divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure abounding love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every
Let's bow our heads in prayer once again. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to worship and to gather around your word and to hear your instruction to us. We ask that you would speak. We ask that as we hear about some of the details of eldership, that you would also be speaking the gospel to us, that you would be explaining to our hearts just how it is that you operate and what it is you do and how you uphold your church and build up your church. And we pray that people might be attracted by what you have laid down for us in your word. Father, we pray for elders here and we pray for elders throughout the presbytery. We ask that you would give them grace and strength. We pray that in days of weakness, in days of conviction, of sin and of failure, that you would be with them, that you would help them to know that they are experiencing what many of the people also experience. Help us to therefore be able to help others in their distress. Lord, you are the God of comfort, and your comfort overflows to us in our distress, that we might be able to comfort others. Father, we pray that you would bring blessing to the eldership throughout this presbytery. We pray, Lord, for young people today, having gone back to school and many Sunday schools starting this weekend. We pray that you would draw young people into your church once again, that there would be a general turning around of attitude and of desire. Lord, we pray that you would plant in the desire of families to be in your presence, to be with the people of God, to know that to serve God is to do, not only to do right, but to do well, to find and choose the right path, a path that will be most profitable for family. Father, we pray for teachers. We ask that you would bless them as they look forward to teaching youngsters from your word. Give them the abilities to plan, give them the ability to persevere, give them the abilities to explain. Lord, we pray for your grace to be poured out on every effort to reach out into this dark and crooked world. Lord, be with us today and help us, teach us from your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I said, I want to think today about eldership, because later on we will have a congregational meeting to elect an elder here, and it's great just to be with you for that purpose. If you're a visitor today, you might not be familiar with what it means when we talk about elders and deacons. We are a Presbyterian denomination, and that means that we believe in presbyters. And a presbyter is an elder. Okay, that the Greek word is presbyter. Our translation is elder. We are governed by elders. Okay, so there's a leadership structure in the Church of God. We're governed by elders, and we don't believe there is a higher office. Okay, in the church. So we don't believe in bishops or archbishops. A bishop is just an elder. We don't believe in archbishops. We don't have arch ministers or arch elders in our own denomination. The moderator, you might think, well, the moderator of the General Assembly is a very, very senior position, you might think. The moderator is just a minister. A minister is just an elder, a teaching elder perhaps, but we don't have any more power than any other elder. So you might then say, well, what is an elder? What does the Bible say about elders? Let me give a few negatives before I turn to the scripture. An elder is not a promotion post. To become into an elder is not to be promoted. You know, you in work situations, especially if you work in career structured places as opposed to maybe working in a self-employment situation. But if you go into some offices, for instance, work hard, be there for a few years, you expect to be promoted, you just go up the tree like that. That's not the way for eldership. It's not because,
well, you know, this is a person, he's been in the church, he's done this, and he's done this, and he's done this, therefore we should honour him. It's not a promotion post. You know, Paul went out on his missionary journeys, and then after several months, he would revisit these churches that he'd planted, and he would appoint elders, people who had not long been in service. Possibly some very young men were appointed to eldership. The apostles themselves, remember, were not old men. They were all young. They were all, you know, Jesus died at 33, around that age, we reckon. Probably the apostles were younger than him. He had chosen them to be his friends. Immediately, they were leading the church of God after Pentecost. So age has very little to do with it. I think in terms of dogs, you know, dogs have, we talk about dogs, 1 year in a dog's life is about 7 years in a human life. You've heard that before, it's not something strange. Well, I think it's a bit like that with Christians. You know, some Christians can mature very, very quickly. Okay, so the elder, when we talk about elders, we're not talking about old people. You can mature very quickly as by God's grace. So a one-year-old Christian can actually be a very mature Christian. It depends on God. It's not a promotion post. It's not an honorary post. In other words, this is not just something that you move into in a kind of retirement zone in your life and people look up to you and it doesn't really mean very much. An elder is a working position. It's a working position. If I think about the history of the Free Church and the Free Church I've been involved with in the Highlands especially, there's something of a dependency culture. Now, what's a dependency culture? Well, a dependency culture thinks in these terms. Let's take an illustration from national politics, if you like. The UK will give money, or USA will give money, to poor countries. And these poor countries look to the UK or the USA to help them. And they then become dependent on the UK and the USA to lead them and to govern them and to tell them what to do. There tends to be a dependency culture in the Free Church, historically anyway, because the congregations would be faced with problems and they'll say, well, what's Edinburgh saying to us? What's the Assembly saying to us? What are the officers saying to us? What are other people saying to us? But that's not what we want from elders. We want elders to be thinking about issues on the ground and not to be saying, well, what will somebody tell me to do about this? But rather think to themselves, what must I do about this? So when you've got a problem in the congregation, right, it's not good to be thinking about even what will the elders say, but what can I do? What, you know, can I have a proactive mindset? An elder needs to be a very proactive person in the modern church. A person has been an elder not because they have academic success or because they've got professional success. Now, the church is not against these things, okay, and would encourage these things in many ways. To be academically successful, in other words, to have gone to university or gone through school and done well in school, or to have been successful professionally, shows a willingness to develop and a willingness to learn. And I think every elder must be willing to learn, and you learn new skills on the job, as it were. But elders will know that they need to be learners. Elders are not people who have arrived. Ministers are not people who have arrived. We're just learners, we're just disciples. We've got to learn new skills. You know, you go to a workplace, and this is one of the things I miss, actually, about being a minister. I worked with Royal Mail for several years in junior management, and when you were working, you were sent on courses to learn this and this and this and this. When you enter the ministry, you get a 3-year training course, and then you're kind of left to train yourself. And it's not very healthy. You know, you need to as a minister, as an elder, be continually learning.
you don't think, I've become an elder, I'm in the workplace and I need to learn and learn and learn, but I just help in running the church by common sense. We don't run the church by common sense. We run the church by following God, following His Word. That takes effort to really get to grips with the Bible. So we need to be learning. And we need to be learning through prayer, through fellowship, through seminars, through preaching, through searching Google, through reading books. Elders must be learners. If I was to speak to every Christian here today, and to other people as well, always be reading. I read something about just last night, or maybe even this morning, from that book, 12 Ways Your Mobile Phone Is Changing You. The mobile phone has changed our behaviour, and it's reduced people's interaction with books in the main. And that's not healthy, okay? We need to be readers, primarily readers of the Word. But if you're a Christian, you'll find reading biographies or reading church history very good. It gives you an insight into the wider church, gives you an insight into how other people live, and with some biographies at least, it gives you insight into what is possible as a Christian. So to strengthen your faith, be reading, not just the Bible, but especially the Bible. Another negative. Being an elder is not a position that allows you to lord it over people. We are overseers. Yes, Peter says that. We're going to come to 1 Peter in a few moments. But we don't... And an overseer is one who makes sure... This is what an overseer is. An overseer is somebody who makes sure that what needs to be done is done rightly. There's a lot in there, isn't there? An overseer is one who makes sure that what needs to be done is done, and is done rightly. Okay, so look to your elders indeed to tell you how to run the church and what should happen. That's part of an overseer's responsibility. But the overseer himself must recognize that they are always under shepherds. Okay, so there's a meekness required there, isn't there? There's grace required there. We don't lord it over people. We're not there to boss people about. We have one Lord. We have one great shepherd. Okay, these are some negatives. Now, let's try and think more positively, if you like, about what the role is about. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 to start with. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock. Be shepherds of God's flock. So, I'm going to try and build on this idea of shepherding. Let me say something. I know nothing about real sheep. All of you will know a whole lot more about sheep than I ever have known, will know, can know. Okay, so forgive me if I'm being completely ignorant. But what is a shepherd? A shepherd is a person who oversees a flock. And that, to me, means a multiplicity of things. Where would I start? Where would you start when you think about shepherding? Well, I've observed different types of shepherd in my pastoral ministry, I guess. The first question I would ask is the person a shepherd for reasons of leisure or reasons of business? Now, there are... When I'm thinking about leisure here, I'm not thinking about those who are involved in showing off their sheep, because they're not going to be guilty of what I'm going to say right now. But some people seem to have sheep for fun, okay? And I've observed in some crofts, and know personally about what I'm speaking about, sheep who just wander about and do whatever they like, enter the house at will, because they're pets. Now, what I've observed actually is this, that such sheep are not the best cared for sheep. If you're amongst that kind of person, I'm not accusing you of anything. The businessman shepherd is different. Businesswoman shepherd. Things are better organized. The sheep appear very often in a healthier state, and the sheep are better groomed. Now, if the flock of God is a business, if you thought about church life for a moment as a business, what is our business? It's not making money. It's not self-praise. The business of the church surely is this, to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. That is what we're here for. In all the different facets and all the different aspects that God wants us to bring him glory, that is what the church is about. In Ephesians 3, I think it is, Paul speaks about the church and he says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known through the church. When the world looks on, the world should marvel and say, well, this is something very, very different. Out of all the places that you go upon the earth, this group of people, we're not talking buildings, this group of people brings glory to God. And in the same context, he's speaking about the lack of divisions. There should be no Jew and Gentile division. One of the things that Paul was shocked about when he's writing to the Corinthian church, he's saying, you know, I've heard about your practices with regard to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And he was shocked because of the divisions that there were among them. The rich, they come and they eat and they drink. And they come first because they're not slaves. They can do that. The slaves come later. The poor people come later. They just get the dregs of what's left on the table. And there's no coming together. They've forgotten what they're all about. An elder's job, surely, is to know when the flock are no longer bringing glory to God. And the elder's job, collectively, is to bring the flock back to bring glory to God. You know, in the book of Revelation, many of you will know the letters of Jesus to the churches, the first three chapters in Revelation. And there's seven letters, and in several of these letters, Jesus is rebuking the congregations. And he's telling them, repent. Well, what's gone wrong? One of the things that's gone wrong, surely, in these places is this. The elders have taken the eye off the ball. The elders have been concerned about this problem and that problem, or not concerned at all about what's going on. And the churches have just kind of gone their own way. Well, you see, I want to say, look, as an eldership, we're always going to be concerned about giving glory to God. We're always going to be concerned about the health of the flock and whether this flock is actually functioning the way God wants it to function. Some of these flocks, these churches in Revelation, they'd lost their first love. They were guilty of idolatry. They were guilty of immorality. There was a lukewarmness. Imagine the church, an elder looking over your congregation today and saying, is this congregation healthy? Is this congregation immoral? Perish the thought. Is it lukewarm? Most of the Western church is lukewarm, isn't it? It's lukewarm. And how would you address that? What would you do to address that? I'm not saying you're lukewarm, by the way. I don't think you are a lukewarm congregation. I think this is a healthy congregation. But the business of God, the business of the church, to bring glory to God. What other tasks does the shepherd have? Well, what about feeding? You know, be shepherds of God's flock. In the King James Version, the Authorized Version, it doesn't use the word shepherd. It uses the word feed. Feed the flock of God. And I'm just guessing. But I'm guessing that, because the word appears to us to be shepherd, I mean, the right translation is shepherd. But what would shepherding mean in the King James generation before the advent of veterinary medicine? Forgive me. Probably most of what the shepherd would be concerned about is feeding, making sure the food was there, that the sheep were watered, and so on. But that's something eldership is concerned about, making sure the flock is fed. When a ministry goes astray, and I'm speaking here about the minister, but let's call it ministry, general terms. When a ministry goes astray, not so much because of style, okay, we're not talking about style here, but because of wrong content in the preaching or poor content, it's an elder's role to speak out. It's an elder's role to go to the minister and to say, "Brother, I think, you know, there's a couple of issues that needs to be addressed." Now, that's painful for elders. It's even more painful for ministers. But it's important for ministers. I mean, people have come to me, or at least one man has come to me, and done just that. And of course it's painful, and you've got to take it on board and see whether it's right or wrong. But you respect people. As a minister, you should respect people who will be honest and straight with you, and who are concerned about the flock and what the flock are hearing. So feeding. A shepherd will be wanting the flock to be fed. And insofar as they themselves are leading a service, they will want to feed the flock of God with God's word. What else does a shepherd have to do? Well, what about protection? Let's go back to David and Goliath. Remember when David is going to King Saul, and he's saying, "I will fight Goliath for you." And King Saul says, "Well, you're just a boy." And David says, "No, actually, by God's power and strength, I have fought off the lion and fought off the bear." He was talking about the protecting of the flock. And elders need to be the kind of people who are able to recognize the enemy. That means that elders need to be the kind of people who are able to read the times. What are the issues that are facing the flock today and are going to do damage to the flock today? Need to read what's going on in the media. Find out how that's impacting our people. And then, of course, you need to know the people, what they themselves are suffering from and how they are impacted in different ways by all the different pressures of life. There's other things that you will know far more about than me. The caring for the sheep, the shearing, the clipping, the anointing with ointment for all the different diseases that sheep can suffer from. One last thing, of course, breeding. Breeding. Growing the flock. Again, we're thinking about businessman enterprise here, businesswoman enterprise here. Imagine you have a flock and it's shrinking. And it's not shrinking by design. It's not the way you want things to be going. You want your flock to be growing. Well, it would be a poor shepherd who is content with the demise of the flock. Is that not right? I may be imagining here. But it would be a poor shepherd who's content with the demise of a flock when he wants his flock to be growing. Isn't it the same with a Christian elder? A Christian elder will not look at the flock of God and be content when he sees numbers disappearing. Not content to say in a despairing kind of way, "Well, it's all in God's hands. We just leave it to him. God will build his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's all just up to him." A Christian elder will be really concerned when a church is not growing and it's not healthy. Now, you might not be able to do anything about it. It might indeed be God's judgment upon the land. Some things we cannot deal with. But he will do all that he can to make sure the flock of God is healthy and that God is able to bless, you might say, that congregation. Now, how does the flock of God grow? Through the Word of God. Through the Word. Conversions come when the Word of God is blessed by the Spirit of God. Would you not agree? And who can do that? Who can minister the Word? Everybody here can minister the Word. It's not just the pulpit. It's not just the minister. Elders have a responsibility to make sure the Word is disseminated, to make sure the gospel is spread. Let me challenge you. How many people have you spoken to in the last year about Christ? How many people have you witnessed to in the last year? You know, for some people that will be zero. Maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe it's four, maybe 10. As an eldership, we need to. I don't even know if we need training, but we need encouragement to help our people to bring the gospel out to the world around us, because that is the way that the gospel grows and people are fed and the flock grows. Just one more thing. Know the sheep. An elder needs to know the sheep. One of the things I've observed with shepherds, as I listen to shepherds speak, when they speak about their flocks, they tend to speak about individual sheep, same with cows, and they're able to talk about the individual sheep's strength and weakness. So one conversation, now this wasn't due to any questions I was asking, but he would speak about one with poor hips, poor eyes, infections. Why was that? Because he's with them all the time and he's paying attention to the sheep. They're important to him. We have to be the same. We've got to know the sheep and have a real interest, not so much in their physical frames, as that's, so that's important, but from what we can see of their heart and of their spiritual condition. Okay, so some things there about shepherding. Give me two or three moments just to speak about who we might appoint to eldership. Now, like I said, this has tended to be a bit of a lecture, possibly. But the elders amongst us will probably be thinking, I shouldn't be an elder. I just don't live up to all these high standards. Okay. Who should we appoint to eldership? And I think when you read the Bible, you discover it's mostly about character. It's about, first of all, what an elder believes. One of the things that Paul says in Timothy is this: both for deacons and elders, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Okay, so an elder is someone who holds the deep truths of the faith, and he holds them deeply. They are the foundation, if you like, of his own life. And so that forms his character. That's the kind of things that he's wanting to see in other people. He gets the connection between the cross and the church. Okay, I hope you see the connection between the cross and the church. Paul speaks in Acts chapter 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of God, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. How precious is the church to God? He bought it with his own blood. God the Son and the person of Jesus dying on the cross for sinners. That's the gospel. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. That's the gospel. We appoint men, and it is men, who believe that deep down. and are able to communicate that to people round about them, who recognise that this church is not their church, not they don't own it. It's the church of God, who Christ died for. If you're not a Christian today, hear this little snippet of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Okay, you're not a Christian. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. I know someone who's not a Christian. He hopes there's no God. He hopes there's no God. But he said, if there is a God, I know I'm a sinner. And that's a good place to start. Terrible place to finish. I don't believe in God, but I know there is a God, I'm a sinner. That's not a good place to be. But to know one is a sinner is to know that if there is a God, God is judge, and God will deal justly with sinners who are opposed to him and against him. But Jesus Christ came into the world for people like me, sinners. People who have gone astray, people who go astray, but are forgiven by God's grace. So belief is really important. We believe the gospel. We believe that you will be saved if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. No more. Not in what you do, not in your great abilities, not in your spiritual works. You will be forgiven. You will be saved if your faith is in Jesus Christ. The works will follow, the good works will follow, but faith in Jesus is the way of salvation. And then, of course, character. Paul speaks about the elder, and Timothy speaks about the family. You can tell a lot about a man by the way they are in their own home. I'm not saying an elder has to be married, I'm not saying an elder has to have family. But if they do, then you can see the kind of person they are from the way he conducts himself in his own home. And the man is to be above reproach. And above reproach in two ways. Above reproach in the church. Paul says they have to be self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. An elder knows restraint. He holds himself in. That's what meekness is, isn't it? Strength under control. That's the kind of person that we want as an elder. But also, he must be above reproach outside. His reputation outside is good. He's got a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. A long list there. I'm sorry it's gone on so long in many ways. But you know, the elders are a crucial role in the Presbyterian Church. It's really crucial. But what's it about? It's about healthy gospel churches. This is God's way. It's through appointing elders. Is it Titus that was told by Paul, left you behind, to appoint elders? Paul knew that elders were crucial in the purposes of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we have been thinking about what it means to be an elder today. And we thank you that though there have been both negatives and positives, and both very searching negatives and positives, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to realize that you're a God of grace and you're a God of strength. You give help in the hour of need, and you help your office bearers to serve you. You give them the grace they require. And we pray, Lord, that we would live close to you, that we might serve you and bring you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to close this part of our service by singing from Psalm 23. And we're singing on page 28. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one true shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. He makes me lie down where the green pastures grow. He leads me to rest where the calm waters flow. Psalm 23, to God's praise.
The Lord.
If you've been a visitor with us today, thank you for being here. I'm going to close the service just now with prayer and at the same time constitute a congregational meeting. If you need to depart, please feel free and go with our blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that that gospel reminds us that we are purchased with the blood of God, the blood of Christ. We ask that you would help us to honour one another, to remember just how precious we are to each other. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who will leave us now, that they would go with your blessing into this week and into the days that lie ahead. And we pray that you would also be with us as we continue in a congregational setting to think about appointing an elder. Lord, be with us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I should really have spoken to Colin before I did what I just did, which was to close and open at the same time, because I'm not quite sure what Colin's plans were and what might have been wiser at the moment. Is everyone here, do you think? We'll wait for some of the most important people in the congregation to arrive. Again, thank you for being here today and the opportunity for myself to be here as well to chair this very brief meeting. The session have been wanting to appoint elders for a while now, and several people have been asked, as I understand it, and have turned down the opportunity to be an elder for various good reasons. However, Finlay MacDonald has been approached and has accepted the opportunity to become an elder. What we're here for today is just to propose that name to you, and then just for a show of hands from the members. Now, I must stress the members, just to say that is good, that meets with your approval. Finlay, perhaps you should leave at this moment, just to give people a sense of freedom. Not that I'm expecting anything, but you never know. So Finlay's name has been proposed to you, and if you agree, the date of ordination will be the 8th of October, I think that's right, and I will come through again for that. So can I have a show of hands just to see that this proposal meets with your approval? And I think that's pretty much unanimous, or whatever is the right word. Okay. So thank you for that. That really conducts, that really finishes the business. Am I right, Colin? As far as you know, yes, good. We rely on session clerks to keep us in order. and then they rely on us, and so everything goes wrong. That's fine. Okay, so the 8th of October for the ordination and induction of Finlay. Finlay, you can come back in now. if he's out there. Maybe I'll be. After all the duties I gave to him today, I'll be running away. Thank you, Finlay. That was really just a formality, and it was a big, wide show of hands, so that was great. Thank you for being willing to consider taking this on. And like I say, the date for ordination induction will be 8th of October. So look forward to that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for Finlay's willingness to be involved in the leadership of this congregation. And we ask that you would equip him now in preparation. And as he reflects more on what this means, we pray that you would strengthen him and lead him to yourself, so that he would start this role with a sense of your undergirding, your power at work in his life. Grant meekness, we pray. Now we ask that you would go before us, that you would part us with your blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.